Good morning and welcome into another episode of Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, an ESPN Pensacola podcast. First and foremost, want to apologize for not having an episode yesterday. Had some technical weather type situations that kept us from being able to do a show. But we are back today and definitely have a lot to talk about because we're going to talk about, we're basically pretty much going to take today's show and yesterday's show, combine them together. So really, when I know I say a lot of times, we've got a lot to talk about, but we definitely have a lot to talk about today. So we'll just jump right in it. I want to kind of take a look back at some of the games from the NBA and NHL playoffs from Sunday. Obviously, Sunday, the Pacers took care of the Knicks in big fashion, 121-89, to tie that series up at two games apiece. And really, the big thing from this that's really kind of been a big talking point, no matter what show you've listened to or watched, the Knicks, the injuries just really starting to show for them. They're starting to get tired. They're starting to wear down. As a matter of fact, Josh Hart says fatigue definitely was a factor for them in that game. They just don't quite have the energy that they had at the start of the postseason. And you got to wonder, I've heard a lot of people talking about it, and I think one of the great things I've heard was that you got to look at coaching, right? And I think it was actually Greeny that was talking about that with how teams, you know, coach and take those approaches. And Greeny was talking about it, and he went back to when, you know, Michael Jackson was with the Bulls and Phil Jackson was, or not Michael Jackson, excuse me, I was combining Michael Jackson and Phil Jackson. I did it again, didn't I? Michael Jordan was with the Chicago Bulls. There we go. We got it on the right track right there. And Phil Jackson was the head coach. I got those names mixed together right there. But he was talking about how, you know, they were playing the Knicks, oddly enough, in the playoffs, and they were in New York, and, you know, they had been, you know, watching film and practicing, and Phil Jackson kind of noticed. I mean, Phil Jackson, he's known as the Zen master, right? And he kind of noticed his team was starting to kind of trail off and maybe seemed like they were a little tired, and what did he do? When they showed up for their practice, he had a bus ready and was like, "Nah, we're not practicing today. We're going to go on a boat tour of New York. We're going to go down through the harbor and out around Statue of Liberty and just go and enjoy some of the sights and have a fun day as a team today." And, of course, as most of the time with Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson and the Bulls, they ended up winning that series and winning a championship. So I think, you know, you do have to take that into account when you're coaching, not just fatigue, but also injuries. The Knicks have got a lot of key players that have not played meaningful minutes inside the postseason, and I think that's really starting to rear its head right now. Indiana's got a great opportunity. Take advantage of that, and they could potentially grab a 3-2 lead tonight when those teams face off. The Nuggets on Sunday, they fought back from being down 2-0 in the series against Minnesota. They got a big win, 115-107 in that one. That series now tied at two games apiece. Fun little back and forth there. Anthony Edwards, Jamal Murray getting into it. Love to see stuff like that in the postseason, right? Like as long as it stays within a realm of being controlled, you gotta love that little edge, that little feisty chippiness inside the postseason. What, no matter what it is, whether it's NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, it doesn't matter. When you're in that postseason, you're playing to continue, right? It's winner advances, loser goes home. It's nice to have that little edge, that little chippiness to you. So definitely like to see that. Again, if I'm Jamal Murray, I'm a little extra careful, right? Because of the heating pad situation. I said it last week on the podcast when we were talking about it. I said you got to be careful if you're Jamal Murray moving forward. The NBA and the officials are going to be watching you like a hawk. So you can get into those little verbal back and forths like that with guys like Anthony Edwards. But you've also got to know your limit and know what line you can walk it up to and still be safe and not come out with a suspension. Because right now, Denver playing really good basketball. They've battled back from being down 0-2 in that series. It's now tied 2-2. They need a guy like Jamal Murray moving forward if they want to win this series. Sunday night in hockey on the ice, Florida took care of Boston 3-2. They take a commanding 3-1 lead in that series. And if you would have came to me after game one and in game two, honestly and truthfully, and been like, "Yeah, after the next couple of games, Florida's going to have a 3-1 series lead," I would have thought you were crazy, because I honestly and truthfully, and I said it right here on this show, I thought this was going to be a series that goes six, maybe even seven games. But Florida has done an incredible job of rebounding after that embarrassing 6-1 loss in game one. Like I said, they win 3-2 and take that 3-1 lead. Another controversial goal that favors the Panthers. They had, what, like two or three of those goals against the Lightning. You know, the Lightning had a couple of goals that were taken off the board because of some questionable, I'm not going to call them controversial, but questionable replays. Then, of course, in this game on Sunday, the tying goal that was scored by Sam Bennett, it might not necessarily have been a goal. Boston fans, obviously, of course, and the Bruins bench didn't think it was a goal. And they were very upset by the way that game ended, especially with the chippiness. Talk about the chippiness between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. This has got some chippiness to it as well. For a series that is a 3-1 lead for Florida right now, this series has been a lot of fun to watch. If you like physical hockey, this has definitely been the series for you. Vancouver, they take a 2-1 series lead over Edmonton, and they did that with a 4-3 win. And how about their rookie goalie there in Vancouver? The Canucks finding maybe one of the next big goalies in the NHL. In Chivas there. So definitely going to continue to watch him. He's really stepped up and played big for them in this postseason and is one of the reasons why they have the lead in that series now. Of course, they'll play the next game of that series coming up later on this evening. As far as the games last night, walk through some of those. Boston in the NBA, they take a 3-1 lead with a 109-102 win over the Cavs. If you're a Cavs fan, man, you got to be sick. You got to be sick. As shorthanded as you were, and you didn't have Donovan Mitchell and you didn't have Jared Allen, you still were in that game, and you gave the Celtics one heck of a fight. I mean, 109-102, you had your opportunities to win that game and to tie the series up at two games apiece if you're the Cavaliers, but they just couldn't get it done. And really and honestly, I do think that not having a guy like Donovan Mitchell played a big part in that. Look at how big Donovan Mitchell has been for them. Even in losses, Donovan Mitchell has still showed up and been a key factor for them. And really, honestly, and truthfully, if it wasn't for Donovan Mitchell's second half in Game 7 against Orlando, we could very well be talking about a Boston-Orlando series right here in the quarterfinals for the Eastern Conference Finals. So I do think that not having Donovan Mitchell was kind of that catalyst for the Cavs in that game last night. But, I mean, again, for Boston, you have guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown step up. Tatum had 33 points. Brown had 27. You can't allow that to happen if you're the opposing teams. If these two guys get hot for the Celtics, watch out. They're definitely going to be tough to beat. Special guest in attendance for that game last night there in Cleveland, a man who is very familiar with that building and wearing a Cavs uniform. Mr. LeBron James was in attendance there at game four. You know, interesting. Don't really think anything's going to come of it. I know a lot of people probably are going to make it a talking point because he can't opt out of his contract coming up in a little over a month on June 29th. He can opt out and decide to go into free agency if he wants to and not be a Laker next year. So lots of people probably going to speculate, oh, well, he was back in Cleveland. Could maybe, you know, he opt out of his contract, sign a 1 or 2 year deal with the Cavs and play a couple of seasons with them and call it a career? No, I would be very surprised if that happens. I think if he does leave the Lakers, which I don't think he will leave the Lakers, but I think if he does, there are a lot more appealing offers out there than Golden State. Not a lot, but I do think there are a lot more appealing offers out there than what he would get with Cleveland. Golden State being one of them. San Antonio with the Spurs, get him down there, work with a young Wimby. Oh, man, that could be a fun matchup. That could be a fun team-up and matchup. If LeBron James went to the Spurs, it would be fun to watch. I don't know if they would win a championship, but it would definitely be fun to watch. OKC ties up their series with Dallas. So Dallas, again, coming out and swinging hard in that series. Jumped out to a lead in the series, but OKC has done a great job. And here's the crazy thing about OKC. First and foremost, look at the run they've gone on so far in the postseason. The two games they've lost against Dallas in this season have been the only games they've lost so far in the postseason, right? They swept New Orleans. The Pelicans were no match for them, right? Four up, four down. They moved on to the next round. Now they've kind of had a couple of issues with Dallas and some of the matchups with Dallas, and Dallas has got the better of them in a couple of games. But OKC still fighting, still hanging in there. And the crazy thing with this is that the Thunder are one of the younger teams in the NBA. And yet they do not show that. And that is scary for anybody playing OKC, is the fact that they are as young as they are, but you would never know it when you turn on the film. That is a talented team. That is a well-coached team. And it is a team that is, for the next foreseeable future, going to give a lot of top-tier elite teams inside the NBA a lot of trouble. And I think OKC still has a great opportunity at winning this series and getting into the Western Conference Finals and having an opportunity to potentially play for an NBA championship. I think that's still very much a possibility for OKC, especially after they tied this game up last night with a 100-96 win on the road, by the way, in Dallas. As far as the postseason for the NHL last night, how about this series? Carolina, the Hurricanes. Slowly but surely getting upgraded, right? Because they're the Hurricanes, so you upgrade them to Category 5. Right now, they're sitting at about a Category 3, maybe borderline Category 4. They used to be a tropical storm. Like a few days ago, they were a tropical storm. They weren't even Hurricanes. But they were down 3-0 to the Rangers. The Rangers, again, just like OKC, one of those teams, blew through the first round, no problem. Blew through the first couple of games of this series against Carolina. No problem. They had a 3-0 lead. Everybody's like, well, the Rangers are about to sweep Carolina, head on to the Eastern Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and look like the team to beat in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But Carolina said, they hit them with that Lee Corso number 2 pencil. Not so fast, my friend. And they have won the last two. That series now at 3-2 lead for the Rangers. I'm just saying, watch out for this series. Watch out for this game. Carolina starting to get a little bit of a rhythm. I think the Rangers are still the better team, and I think the Rangers probably close it out next game. But Carolina winning two in a row, not going down easy. Not going down easy, and good for them. Good for them. Dallas, they jump up to a 3-1 series lead over Colorado. They win 5-1 last night, and taking kind of commanding control over that game right there. So that's the games that we've missed and that we talked about last night and over the last couple of days, because obviously we didn't do a show yesterday, so wanted to kind of go back and look at the Sunday games as well. Some news that's come out over the last couple of days since we last talked. Haven't got a full NFL schedule release. That's not expected until tomorrow on Wednesday, so that'll probably be something we talk about on tomorrow's show. But definitely a couple of games kind of getting announced here or there. We know that Tom Brady's first broadcast with Fox will actually be with the Dallas Cowboys. No word on who they're going to play yet. Obviously, when the Cowboys schedule comes out tomorrow, we will know. But Tom Brady going to be calling his first game for the Dallas Cowboys. The Chiefs set to start their season off on September 5th. As it is a rematch of the AFC Championship game against the Ravens. Again, remind you that the Chiefs won that game 17-10 earlier this year to get to the Super Bowl. So expected to be another great matchup. I mean, you look at this game. You got Patrick Mahomes. You've got Lamar Jackson. You bring in other key players, Xavier Worthy. You've got Travis Kelce. You've got all of these great players on each side of the ball. Derrick Henry running the ball now for Baltimore. Going to create that nice 1-2 punch with LeBron James. I'm looking at my notes and I'm talking about Bronny James and LeBron James in a minute. So I'm looking ahead, and that's where LeBron came from. I meant to say Lamar Jackson. Stop reading down below the notes and just look at what I'm talking about right now. But Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry there in the backfield, that's going to be a nice 1-2 punch for the Ravens. Definitely looking forward to this game on opening weekend. Another game on opening weekend, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully it goes better for him than it did last year. They're going to be taking on San Francisco 49ers in the first Monday Night Football game of Week 1. So the Jets and Aaron Rodgers taking on the reigning NFC champions in the 49ers. Definitely going to be interesting in that matchup. Lots of interesting pieces added to the Jets through the offseason. Will it help? You know what? I don't know. We'll find out week one when they take on San Francisco in a Monday Night Football game. Some other news, like I was talking about, Bronny James and LeBron James. Bronny James medically cleared to play in the NBA. You might recall he had those issues, went into cardiac arrest. What was it? Less than a year ago, about 9-10 months ago, he went into cardiac arrest. They took him in. They had a procedure done on him to repair a congenital heart defect that caused that cardiac arrest. So he has that procedure. Really kind of hurt him in his time, his first year there at USC. But the numbers, maybe if you look at his stats for his first year at USC, not necessarily what you would expect from Bronny James, but definitely good news that he has been not only cleared to play in the NBA, but that he is actually going through workouts and training at the combine right now. And honestly and truthfully, he's turning some heads. He's turning heads. His vertical was one of the top verts, and he's doing a great job with some of the shooting drills and things like that. So despite those lower numbers his freshman year at Southern Cal, he's still turning some heads and getting noticed by some scouts there for the NBA. And you take a look here, NBA draft coming up soon, June 26th and 27th. We've got the Atlanta Hawks with the number one overall pick, the Wizards out of Washington with the second pick. Houston has the third pick, Spurs at number four, Pistons at five, Hornets at six, Trailblazers at seven, Spurs at eight, Grizzlies at nine, and the Jazz at 10. That'll be your top 10 picks there once we hit the NBA draft. And, I mean, obviously this can change with a trade or something like that, so that may not be the exact final pick. You know, who knows what happens once that clock starts going at any draft, whether it's the NFL draft, NBA, MLB, NHL, whatever it may be. Once that clock starts going, anything can happen. So we'll see. Again, it gets started June 26th, and it should be a lot of fun to watch. Bronny James definitely going to be one of those people that is you keep an eye on and you find out where he goes, because whoever gets him, despite those freshman year numbers he had at USC, whoever gets Bronny James, I mean, he's the son of LeBron James. What LeBron James has is a gift, but it's a gift that can be passed down. It's a gift that can be coached. So not only is he going to have the natural talent that LeBron James has, but he's going to learn and get better from the coaching that he's gotten from his dad throughout his life. So whoever gets Bronny James, wherever that is, definitely getting a steal of a player there, especially after this combine. We may see him shoot up into those NBA mock drafts a little bit more than where he already is. Adam Schefter, this is interesting right here. Adam Schefter has got a report that Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to be signing a one-year deal worth $4.5 million with the Buffalo Bills. Now, officially, this is not like 100% done. This is still a report from Adam Schefter. He's talking to one of his sources, and they let him know this. So we'll see what ends up happening with this. But adding Marquez Valdes-Scantling would definitely be a good move for the Bills. Honestly, you're looking to replace Stephon Diggs. You lost him. He goes to the Houston Texans. So you got to find a guy that is going to be a veteran presence in that receiver room. You've brought in Curtis Samuel. You've gotten Mac Hollins. You've also drafted Keon Coleman out of Florida State. But to have that dynamic player with the veteran presence, and that's not a slap at Curtis Samuel or Mac Hollins, NFL caliber players, of course, not trying to poo-poo on them in any way, shape, or form, but having a Marquez Valdes-Scantling type player in your locker room, it would be big for the Bills, and it'd be good to have that reliable target for Josh Allen. Talked about it last week for the Bills. It is a very young team that they're going to have, a little bit younger of a roster than what Josh Allen may be used to there with Buffalo. So there's definitely going to be some growing pains early on for them, I think. And I think having a guy like this who's a veteran presence, who's been there, who's done it before, I think it definitely can not only help the team, but it'll definitely help quarterback Josh Allen for the Bills. So, again, we'll see if that report becomes official. But right now, Adam Schefter reporting from a source, Marquez Valdes-Scantling going to be joining the Buffalo Bills. Some other news in the world of sports worth taking a look at. How about Shohei Ohtani? Not really a shock or a scare here, or maybe a little bit of a scare. He actually left the game on Saturday. Back kind of tightened up on him as he was pitching. Good news for this is the team came out and was like, yeah, we don't really expect it to be anything too serious. As a matter of fact, Shohei came out on Sunday and was like, after the game, was like, yeah, I went through my normal pregame routine. Didn't have any issue, didn't have any pain. So if you are a Dodger fan, that is a little bit of good news for you. Shohei Ohtani, despite leaving the game on Saturday over the weekend, looks like he probably shouldn't miss a start. If he does, maybe one, two at most. So nothing substantial as far as sitting out on some time. Take a look now. Go back to the NFL because I want to take a look now at some of these teams that will be most improved over the offseason. The teams that utilized the offseason for the NFL the most. And a lot of these teams had top 10 draft picks and made the right decisions that are going to help their franchise. And just want to kind of run through some of these and talk about a couple of these teams on this list. The first team on this list, obviously, you've got to look at Chicago. Yeah, I mean, no brainer here. Not only do they draft Caleb Williams, but they go out and they get pieces to add around Caleb Williams, whether it's, you know, weapons, whether it's protection, whatever it may be. They go out and they get those guys. Plus, they bring in Keenan Allen. They needed receivers. They needed guys who were dynamic playmakers with the ball in their hands. So they go get Keenan Allen. They draft Rome Odunze. And then, of course, they get DeAndre Swift in Chicago as well. So you're kind of bringing in those playmakers that you need for Caleb Williams. You're bringing in the production that he needs as well. And I think the great thing, I saw an article is talking about how Caleb Williams may be the most NFL-ready rookie to ever start a game in the NFL. And what they meant by that, they go on to talk about it in the article, was that Caleb Williams is set up for success right away. Day one, he is going to be, because here's the thing, and Dan Orlovsky went through what you get, like the rookie handbook as a new quarterback in the NFL, the handbook, everything you need to learn, and all that stuff that you need to have memorized by day one of rookie minicamp, and the things that you work on and install throughout rookie minicamp. And I believe if you're on TikTok, ESPN actually has a clip of it on their TikTok page. Go watch it. And it might be on their Reels section on Instagram as well. Go watch that. Go see everything that these kids coming out of college have to memorize, have to learn, and have to know heading into rookie minicamp. You want to know one of the reasons why Caleb Williams is set up for success day one? Is because where we may see Jalen Daniels, we may see some of these other quarterbacks that were part of this draft class struggle a little bit to learn those things, Caleb Williams is not going to do that. Why? Because Caleb Williams probably had a hold of this material in February. Caleb Williams knew where he was going. There was no surprise. Everybody knew he was going number one to Chicago. There was never a doubt in anybody's mind. Whether you're just a casual fan or the most diehard NFL fan, you knew Caleb Williams, number one overall pick, going to the Chicago Bears. So he was already working out with some of these guys that he knew he was going to be playing with, throwing to some of the receivers that were going to be future teammates, including, by the way, Rome Odunze, who they drafted just a few picks after they take Caleb Williams. It's almost like Chicago had a plan to this. And I think this is why it's going to really work out for the Bears. So he knew all of that stuff, all the verbiage, the lingo, the plays. Even his quarterback coach who he was working with heading into the draft came out and said, yeah, I knew Chicago's playbook. We worked on Chicago's playbook. The man knows what he's doing. He knows the depth the receivers are going to be. He knows the touch or the strength he's got to put on throws. He knows all of that stuff. And because of that, Caleb Williams definitely going to be a big boost for Chicago, and that's why I think you've got to look at them as being the most improved team this offseason inside the NFL. Another one, it's crazy to say this team needs to be improved, but they do have a couple of key areas that they needed to work on, especially coming out of last season, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. Great start to the season, you know, coming off of their Super Bowl appearance a couple of seasons ago. But the ending was rough for the Eagles. I mean, it was an abysmal ending for the Eagles. They've added Kellen Moore is their offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio coming from Miami to be their defensive coordinator. So they've added new coordinators that are expected to boost and bolster them up as a team and make them better. But, I mean, you bring in a guy like Kellen Moore, and then you look at Kellen Moore and you go, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to bring in a guy like Saquon Barkley to help you out in the backfield. I think if you're Kellen Moore, I think that's an easy yes when they're offering the job. They go, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to bring in Saquon Barkley to be your running back. Okay, yeah, I will take that. I'll have Jalen Hurts as my quarterback, Saquon Barkley as my running back. And then I also have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith as my receivers. All right. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty fun offense I'd like to coach. No-brainer there for Kellen Moore. It's kind of the same thing for Vic Fangio as well. Defensively, they needed to find a dynamic defensive coordinator that's going to make them a little bit more aggressive on the defensive side of the ball. But they also go out and they add players like Bryce Huff, and that's going to be complimentary there to Devin White, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and, of course, C.J. Gardner-Johnson there in the backfield for the defense. Definitely, it's going to be interesting to see. Philadelphia has added the right pieces that they need to readjust on the course that they were on, right? Because they go to the Super Bowl. They lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They start strong. They look good. But then they just start tailing off at the last little bit of the season last year. The last month was just a struggle for them, and they get eliminated from the postseason a lot earlier than really anybody expected them to. So I think they've added the right pieces to fix those issues that they saw a year ago. Let's just see what happens. I think you got Jalen Hurts, who is going to be capable at the quarterback position, not only with his arm, but with his legs as well. You've got the receivers there with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. You've got now the running back with Saquon Barkley, who I still can't believe they pulled Saquon Barkley away from an in-division rival. But, hey, you know, money talks. Money talks. So if there's a better deal on the table somewhere else, doesn't matter if it's a rival or not, you go and take that deal. So, I think that the Eagles are setting themselves up to be not really better, because they were a good football team last year and the year before. Obviously, they made it to the Super Bowl. But I think they're setting themselves up to be more consistent, right? I think that's the big thing for Philly, is they've got to be more consistent. They're a good football team. They've just got to be consistent. One thing they weren't down the final stretch of the season last year. Houston, this is my surprise team for the NFL. I think this is going to be the team that, when we look back at this season, I think this is going to be the team that nobody's really talking about the Texans. I mean, there's some mentions about the Texans, but when the Houston Texans step on the field this year, they are going to have a new attitude. They're going to have a new look, and I'm excited to see the Texans play. I mean, you're going to add weapons to help C.J. Stroud, like Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs. Aside from the offense, you're bringing in guys like you got guys like Daniel Hunter, Danico Autry. And, of course, you already have Will Anderson in place. J.J. Watt even has told D'Amico Ryans, hey, you need an extra guy on defense, just give me a call, let me know. I will definitely be there. So the Houston Texans are setting themselves up to have a special team and a special season in 2024. And I, for one, honestly, I can't wait. That's probably because I'm not a fan of the Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars, or, you know, the Indianapolis Colts. Those teams are going to have a hard time playing this Houston Texans team twice throughout the season. But I'm definitely looking forward to watching this Texans team play. Minnesota, the Vikings, they had to move on from Kirk Cousins, right? It's just, you know, one of those things that you got to do. You got to move on from the older guy, and you got to look more towards building the future. So they've got Sam Darnold coming in. They drafted J.J. McCarthy. And I think, you know, while we may see them, you know, and you'll hear the coach speak of, well, everybody's battling, every position is open this time of year, and your performance is going to base on where you end up as far as the roster goes and the depth chart goes. Well, I think when you look at this, a guy like Sam Darnold probably going to get the start to start the season, because he's got the NFL experience. So he knows how to prep, he knows how to practice, he knows how to do all of those things that he needs to do inside the NFL as a starting quarterback. J.J. McCarthy, not saying he's not capable of starting day one, but I think it'd be smarter, let Sam Darnold start, let the team work with him for a few weeks, bring J.J. McCarthy along, and then put him in the system halfway through the season, much like what apparently the Patriots intend to do with Drake May. So Minnesota is one of those teams that I think can be improved from what they were a year ago, and it's not really going to be that hard. I think they just got to stay healthy, right? Like the Vikings just could not stay healthy last year, whether it was Kirk Cousins or somebody else. It seems like every time you turn on the TV or tuned into to SportsCenter or some other type of sports show, we're talking about the Vikings having an injury. So I think the Vikings just have to stay healthy, and they can be an improved team. You also got Brian Flores as defensive coordinator. While he might not have done much as the head coach at the Dolphins, he is definitely one of the top defensive-minded coaches inside the NFL, and he's going to have guys like Jonathan Greenard, Andrew Van Ginkel, who he coached in Miami, by the way, and Dallas Turner. So Vikings definitely, I think early on when they're kind of waiting for J.J. McCarthy to be ready, look for them to be a very defensive-minded football team. Want to keep that score low, want to grit out and tough out some ugly wins early on with Sam Darnold as their quarterback. They're not going to ask Sam Darnold to do too much. They're really going to try to rely on that defense and just have Sam Darnold be that quote-unquote game manager, as we hear a lot of times throughout the NFL. The last team on this list I want to talk about, the Washington Commanders. They are going to have a new identity, a new attitude, new head coach Dan Quinn coming through. And Dan Quinn, if you remember Dan Quinn's time in Atlanta, locker room guys are big with Dan Quinn. And what I mean by that is Dan Quinn has a vision for what he wants this team to be. And he understands that with this vision, you need certain types of players, certain types of guys with certain types of mentalities. And that is exactly what we're seeing the Washington Commanders go out and get so far this offseason. Obviously, they drafted Jaden Daniels. They're starting to be their starting quarterback of the future. And Adam Peters, the GM, is extremely high on Jaden Daniels. We've talked about it here on the show before where Adam Peters looked at film of Jaden Daniels, and he said that is the quarterback the Washington Commanders have been waiting on for years. That quarterback that they thought and they hoped RG3 could be, but obviously the injuries kind of ended that. That quarterback, that leader of the team, the captain that they have been waiting on for years is going to be Jaden Daniels. And of course, you look at his film from last year, you can understand why, especially you go back to that Florida game. I've said it multiple times, and I will continue to say it. The reason Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy last year is because of that Florida game. The way he played against Florida, which take it with a grain of salt, it was against Florida, one of the worst defensive teams in the college football rankings. But still, the way he played in that game, the way he commanded that offense, the numbers he put up, I mean, that's the game that won him the Heisman. And so you're looking at a guy like Jaden Daniels coming in, and you say, okay, if you can give me that type of production, that type of cerebral play, really, and what I mean by that when I say cerebral play is play breaks down, you got a couple of edge rushers getting into the backfield. He rolls out. Instead of trying to use his legs to pick up 3 or 4 yards, he rolls out, keeps his eyes downfield, finds the open man for a gain of 20, 25 yards. Some quarterbacks don't do that, right? Some quarterbacks immediately want to get out of the pocket and take off running, slide, get up 3 or 4 yards. When they give up a bigger play that could have happened downfield, if they would have just kept their eyes downfield. That's not a problem with Jaden. He's always going to keep his eyes downfield. Until he crosses that line of scrimmage, his eyes are downfield trying to find the bigger play. Also, the cerebral play falls in line of making sure they're lined up and in the right order and in the right spot. And he did a great job of that at LSU. So I do think that I got to agree with Adam Peters on this. I think the Commanders have found their guy. We'll just have to see how it plays out. If he plays up to his potential, he's going to be right up there with Caleb Williams as being the next talked about quarterback inside the NFL. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, still a lot of time left to practice and prep and get ready for the season. We are unfortunately not even close to kicking off the regular season for the NFL, but definitely should be a lot of fun whenever we get to that point. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, like I said, tomorrow should have the NFL schedule released, so we'll talk about that and more right here on the Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, on ESPN Pensacola Podcast.